Our second reading will be from the book of John. If you have the church Bibles, that's on page 1063. John chapter 1 from verses 1 to 18. I read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was a witness. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Good morning. Well, a few years ago, a challenge was put to various celebrities in a Marks and Spencer's advert. How do you sum up Christmas in three words? Now, I don't know how you would respond, but here are some of the answers that were given. Morecambe and Wise. If you're of a certain generation, that might be true for you. Eating too much. Filling a stocking. Last minute shopping. The Queen's speech. Before the inevitable, Marks and Spencer. I wonder how you would respond. Actually, if you take Christ out of Christmas, you're left with M&S. And maybe that says something. Might sum it up for many people, because it's easy at Christmas to be so preoccupied with everything else that's going on that we forget what we're supposed to be celebrating. A better response might have been, "Christ is born." But I want to share with you this morning three words that perhaps describe Christmas in a better way. And they are these: Christmas is historical, Christmas is joyful, and Christmas is essential. First of all, Christmas is historical. Jesus, unlike what many people believe, was not just a mythical figure. He really existed. In fact, no serious historian doubts that fact. The Gospels in the New Testament were all written. They told me not to lean on this, and I've just done it. Try to remember. The Gospels in the New Testament were all written within a few decades of the events they describe and take great care to record accurate history. And Luke sets everything in a historical context, carefully examining everything and using first-hand eyewitness reports. So the events of Christmas are not just a nice story about a baby. The Gospels go on to describe how Jesus grew up and how he became the most remarkable man the world has ever seen. There's never been anyone like Jesus. He lived a life of astonishing humility and compassion and love. He taught as no one has ever taught. And although he was an uneducated carpenter from an obscure part of the Roman Empire, his words captivated the minds of millions of people throughout the last 2,000 years. He performed extraordinary miracles that even his enemies couldn't deny. And despite all of this, the religious establishment of the day felt threatened by him and persuaded the Roman authorities to have him crucified when he was in his early 30s. And of course, if that was how his brief life ended, he might well have been forgotten. The historian H.G. Wells has said this: "I am an historian. I'm not a believer. But I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is the very center of history." Indeed, it's been calculated that the mathematical compound of the probability of all the prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus coming true in one person, or about the Messiah coming true in one person, is 1 in 84 multiplied by, followed by a lot of zeros. Christmas is not just a fairy tale. This is solid and reliable history that we are remembering today. The Apostle John, who had witnessed Jesus firsthand, who had known him closely, says of him, "We have seen his glory, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We've seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us." John had seen Jesus. He'd seen him transfigured in all his glory. Christmas is historical. It really happened. And secondly, Christmas is joyful because God really cares. When the angel announced the birth of Jesus to some shepherds, as we heard earlier, he said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I would like to have, if there is a young person who's willing to help me this morning, I would like a young person who is willing to take on board a challenge in order to win some treasure. Is there anybody who's willing to do that this morning? Anybody? Otherwise, I might need to look for an older person to help me. Anybody like to do that? I'll tell you what the challenge is. I have brought with me this morning some of the lovely food waste from our house that we use to, basically to put in the food waste bin. We used to have a compost bin where we lived and we're able to put it there, but now it has to go in the food waste bin. And in this very nice leftovers from our last 2 or 3 days is buried, two 1 pound coins. And if anybody would like, is up for the challenge of reaching in to this jar and finding them, you will be able to keep what you find. Is anybody up for the challenge? Well, a round of applause for brave volunteers. Well, what was all that about? Well, you might well wonder. I think the thing is that the two very brave volunteers this morning thought that it was worth taking that challenge, going through all the slime in order to get the treasure that was there. And that's really, in a sense, what Christmas is about. It shows us that God thinks the same about us. All the slime, if you like, in our lives and in the world. The daily news is a constant reminder that we live in a dark and polluted world. And then there's the mess in our own lives caused by our sins and the mistakes and sins of other people as well. But in the birth of Jesus, we are reminded that God sees so much value in us that he reached down into the mess to save us. God is not thrilled about all the mess in our lives, but he comes into the mess. God is not offended by our humanity, but instead he chooses to enter into our humanity. So why should we rejoice over the birth of a baby to parents we don't know personally back in ancient history? Because of who he is. The angel told the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." In other words, God has acted to fulfill the promises that he made hundreds of years beforehand. As we saw a few minutes ago, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Which shows us that God is not a distant God. In Jesus, God has filled up the space between him and us. And even if we can never explain why there's so much suffering in our world, we can at least be assured that God is not indifferent to it. He didn't simply send his condolences by long-distance phone call. He got involved by sending his son to be born on earth. And although Jesus was God in human form, he was fully human. He didn't protect himself from the harsh realities of life. He chose to be one of us, a real living human being, experiencing everything that we do, walking with us in every way. It tells us that God lives in our skin, that he sees through human eyes, that he feels human pain, he feels human emotions. He can empathize with us. So Christmas assures us that God really cares. Why else would he allow his son to leave all the glory of heaven and be born a man in the midst of all the suffering of our world? He entered into the mess. God really cares. And thirdly, Christmas is essential. It really matters. See, when Jesus came into the world, he didn't just come to brighten up our Decembers. He came to transform our lives. He didn't just come to earth to demonstrate God's love, but to achieve an urgent rescue. The Apostle Paul wrote this: "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." In an act of unparalleled sacrifice, Jesus has come to restore us to Almighty God. A relationship that we severed, but that he desired at the greatest cost to restore. I used to think when I read about sinners that that meant murderers and hooligans. In other words, people not like me, people much worse than me. But then I discovered that the first commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. There was apparently a little boy who desperately wanted to play Joseph in the school nativity play, but he only got the part of the innkeeper. Feeling angry and wounded, the boy sulkily waited for the right moment to take his revenge. And with the school hall packed with teachers and proud parents, Mary and Joseph walked towards him and delivered their familiar line, "Is there any room at the inn?" And there the boy saw his opportunity. And with a broad smile, he said, "Yes, plenty of room. Come right in." And poor Mary and Joseph stood there, dumbfounded, not knowing what to do. The production descended into chaos. You know, there's something of that boy in all of us, I think. Maybe we feel a bit unhappy with the part God has given us. So we tear up the script, we write our own lines, we try and push God out of the picture, or at least to the margins, with ourselves at the center. We decide how we're going to live our lives. And that's what sin really is. It's rejecting God's authority. It's living as if he doesn't really exist, or at least he doesn't matter all that much. And the message of Christmas is that God is not thrilled about our lives, but he has bridged the gap all the way to where we are. He's chosen to make that difference. He's come for you and me. So Christmas is historical. It really happened. It's joyful because God really cares, and it's essential. It really matters. What the coming of Jesus offers, even amidst all the mess and the bitter things of life, is not just a little bit of relief here and there, but a deep inside peace that comes from forgiveness and being reconciled with God. The powerful message of Christmas can be experienced, and it is for all people. Thelma Howard was an American maid employed by Walt Disney. Every Christmas Eve, he gave her a piece of paper in an envelope. She didn't really understand what it was, so she simply added it to the pile of the other ones under her bed. After her death, her relatives discovered the documents and realized they were shares in the Disney Corporation, which were now worth $30 million. But yet she led a very simple and ordinary life. In the same way, what a mistake if we ignore the gift that God has given us that we celebrate at Christmas. A gift far more valuable than any sum of money. So let's rejoice, let's give thanks for all God has done this Christmas, and let's make Christ the center of our Christmas celebration. Thank you for listening.